This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Stephen A. Russell is back again to do the film with you. Welcome back,
I'm
Stephen.
So glad that you know you guys are heralding my grand return.
I have missed your review, so I do need to know some movies that we need to go and see.
Actually,
so.
Can I also just say that I'm really cracking it that I've still not been invited to a same-sex wedding. It's like, you know, what did we fight for? It's about time.
Get married, guys.
Just talk to your friends. Anyone. Party. Same here, exactly.
In fact, just propose to me.
Just invite us. Exactly.
I just want a party.
You just want the free food.
Well, but I'm surprised it's taken me this long to have gone to one.
I've been to one.
You've been to one?
Maybe we were all just a bit done. But, you know, after the prolonged fight, we needed the time out.
All our friends are just all jaded and not interested.
We wanted the ride to destination. Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't necessarily want to get married.
Well, that's true.
Well, these two guys yesterday, 20 years have been together.
Oh, wow. They might as well get married.
That's who we fought for.
And they've always wanted to get married.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, isn't it lovely? And they just didn't want to rush into it because it was huge production.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, look, this is actually a pretty nice segue into
the first
couple of films.
Yep.
One thing that I've really been sort of mourned in the last, as we've become more and more obsessed with the big tentpole movies, a lot of the littler kind of mid-tier films have vanished, and one particular genre that has really suffered in recent years is the rom-com. You know, during the 90s, you know, it was sort of that was the Marvel movie, you know, you'd have films like When Harry Met Sally. And so it kind of really fell out of favor for a while, but this week we have not one but two rom-coms choose from. And the first one, I absolutely adored this one. Now, I'm going to acknowledge, you know, you shouldn't judge a book by its cover. But when I first heard about Jonathan Levine's Long Shot, written by Dan Sterling and Liz Hannah, I wasn't entirely sold by the pairing of Charlize Theron, who plays the Secretary of State of the USA.
Right.
And is making...
Glamorous one.
Yeah, exactly. making a bid for the president in 2020.
Right.
In an alternate reality, Trump is not the president in this rom-com. But who she is paired with is Seth Rogen.
Right.
And I wasn't totally convinced by her mega glamour and his kind of, you know, he's always funny, he's cute, he's a bit, you know, but it kind of seemed like a mismatch. But I've got to say, I ate my words immediately. So he plays this little independent journalist working for one of these sort of websites that has been really taking to task a major publisher, played by Andy Serkis, but he's essentially playing Rupert Murdoch.
Oh, okay.
And what happens is that the Murdoch figure buys this little website that up until then had been really going for him and his corrupt business model and so on. And so what happens is that Seth Rogen, who plays Fred Flarsky, quits and he's kind of at a loss. But then with his best friend, played by O'Shea Jackson Jr., he goes to a party that happens to have Boys to Men playing. So I feel like we really are, you know, back in the 90s. And he bumps into Charlize, who plays Charlotte
Beale. Way Out, House of Awesome is a social group for...
It was a House of Awesome. And look, it turns out that she was his babysitter by a couple of years older when they were kids. And immediately, despite her, you know, being in this very, you know, polished on-brand world, immediately there's a kind of chemistry and a spark between them. And she realizes quite early on that he's at a loss, but that his comic, you know, his sort of great comic sense could really help her, and she actually brings him into the team as her speechwriter.
Ah.
Now, this is the first time she's done a comedy role too, isn't it?
She's done a couple of, you know, sort of edging towards that, but never quite in this kind of snappy romantic comedy way. And let me tell you, her comic timing is absolutely spectacular.
But she's such a good actress.
She really is.
Isn't she?
Absolutely is.
And it doesn't surprise me that she'd be good at this.
And look, it's just really lovely because it really looks at, it's a very empowering modern look at the rom-com. They're both really good at what they do. They're both very respectful of each other's positions. They really help to kind of lift each other. And I thought this was absolutely adorable.
Okay, like,
long shot.
Let me tell you, there is a fantastic Roxette moment with It Must Have Been Love.
Oh, right.
And I was a little bit teary.
Right, okay.
I think they are doing a nod to the old rom-coms, all that old music.
Roxette seems to get used in so many films.
Oh, it's
in film.
Classic.
Yeah. So how many stars?
Four stars.
And what's it called again?
That is called Long Shot. It's absolutely brilliant.
All right, so what's the other one? The other side.
We've also got a little local hero this week in Top End Wedding. Which stars and is written by Miranda Tapsell.
Oh, she wrote it as well, did
yeah.
she?
Yeah. Wow. So, amazing. You know, she's wearing several hats, and it reteams her with director Wayne Blair, who kind of, you know, directed her in her breakout film, The Sapphires.
Mm. Which was wonderful. I did love
that. Yeah. Look, this isn't quite as polished. Mm. You know, Long Shot's a really kind of slick version. But essentially what it is Miranda Tapsell plays a corporate lawyer, Lauren, who gets engaged to an English guy called Ned, who is played by Gwilym Lee, who people might recognise as Brian May in the recent Bohemian Rhapsody film.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And they decide to get married in a bit of a whirlwind in 10 days. They're living in Adelaide, but what they decide is that she's going to go back to the Northern Territory. She grew up in Darwin, and she wants to try and find her estranged mum, played by Ursula Jovich, who's an amazing star of screen and stage here. And so it kind of becomes a rom-com slash road movie.
Yeah.
And you do get the sense, I have to say, that the Northern Territory, you know... tourism
the
board. You know, they've got their money's worth. They basically tick off every major, you know, location in the Top End. But look, again, this is just, it's got its heart in the right place. I really love that it really embraces Indigenous culture, and we end up on the Tiwi Islands. It's a really beautiful film with a lot of fun. And again, look, Miranda Tapsell, she's a cracker. You know, she comes on screen and it lights up.
She's so likable, isn't she?
Yeah, she really has. Yeah. And you can kind of tell that this has really come from her heart, and she's really wanting to, you know...
Well, 'cause she's written it, so yeah, it must be, you know, something that's close to, you know, the story she wants to tell.
Yeah, and I do happen to know, I interviewed her a couple of weeks ago, and she's definitely a super dork when it comes to rom-com movies. Like, she knows her stuff.
Right.
So look, again, I say this often, but we need to support our local films.
Of course,
we do.
This really is a cute little one. You know, I'm probably going to give this 3.5.
All right. What's it called again?
That is Top End Wedding.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So if you like, you know, films like My Big Fat Greek Wedding, it's very much that idea of the chaos that happens when you try and get your family, you know, organised for a wedding, massive event.
You've probably lived it this weekend.
I have.
Well, yeah.
The dramas in the setup of the wedding. Ooh, there were stories.
If you filmed that, it'd be a number one hit.
And even more bizarrely, Miranda Tapsell literally got engaged while she was in a whirlwind sort of engagement while she was writing this.
And life imitating art.
So, she kind of had to organise two weddings at once, fictional and real.
Right.
Which I thought was cute.
Yeah.
So what else is on at the film?
Well,
movies.
Opening next week, we have the new one from Kenneth Branagh. And this has actually been written by comic writer Ben Elton.
Ah.
And it is called All Is True. And basically, Branagh, you know, he's played so many of Shakespeare's leading men. Well, here he is actually playing the man himself. And he basically plays the bard in his final years when he has quit writing, he's quit London, he's gone back to, you know, long-suffering wife Anne in Stratford, and decided to, you know, basically go on gardening leave, like literally decided he's going to build a garden. And
is it true, or have they made this up?
I think it certainly plays fast with the stuff between the lines. It kind of reminded me a little bit of the way The Favourite
took
real history, but kind of wrote between the lines. Mm. And so
is it comedy with Ben Elton writing it, or
no? Actually, it's actually more of a mournful look at how his son died very young. I think 11 years old, 9 or 11, and part of the sort of dramatic setup is that he has returned finally ready to mourn his son. He wasn't there when he died, apparently, of the plague. But that really kind of puts, in particular, his daughter Judith, played by Catherine Wilder, on edge, because they've all, you know, this happened years ago and they were there and they mourned it, and all of a sudden Shakespeare wants to play the mourning father, much delayed.
Yeah.
There's also an interesting tangent with Lydia Wilson as his other daughter, Susanna, and she's married to a Puritan. So there's a bit of dramatic tension between, you know, on one hand you've got the father who was the, you know, the toast of town with plays, hanging out with all the drunks, and then, you know, you've got this Puritan son-in-law who doesn't really approve of that. Now, I feel like this film's a little unfocused. There's some really interesting stuff about the role of women back then and during the Renaissance period, and the kind of limited freedoms that they had. I feel like the film really comes alive when it looks at the daughters, almost to the point where...
So it's a modern twist on it then.
You're a
like
little
giving
bit.
Women, but, the, yeah. but then you've got to remember that it was probably the films of the 50s and 60s and into the 70s where they weren't giving the women the praise, but the women back there were ballsy. You know, a lot of them were the power players, weren't they?
Yeah, and look, well, I mean, absolutely. And I mean, and, you know, Judi Dench is brilliant as his wife here. You know, she really, and again...
She's always wonderful though, isn't she?
Absolutely. And, you know, there's a conversation there about the age difference between them as well and her inability to read or write. That becomes a bit of an issue.
I'd forgotten about that. Yeah. The minute you said it, I thought, oh, that's right, I've forgotten.
Yeah, so look, there's a lot going on. There's also a little cameo with, oh my goodness, what's his name? Ian McKellen. How can I forget Ian McKellen's name? Who plays the Earl of Southampton, you know, one of the men who really put the money into it.
Yep.
But again, in terms of a contemporary framing, it's a really queer-coded scene that suggests... going by, you know, some of the sonnets being written to a man, that perhaps Shakespeare might have felt quite strongly for this man. But he, in a very classist way, sees him as his inferior.
Right.
The Earl of Southampton sees Shakespeare as his inferior. Mm. So there's lots of interesting stuff, but it never quite settles on what its focus wants to be.
Yep. And did you say at the beginning who directed it? Was it
Kenneth?
Yeah,
it's Kenneth directing as well. Look, I wanted to love this a lot more than I did. In the end, it's probably 3 stars for
me. Okay. Well, that's not bad.
Not too bad. Do I have time for 3 seconds?
Of course you do.
Final one? The other thing I did see this morning, and I did not expect to like this one, let me tell you, is Pokemon Detective Pikachu. Now, look, this, I wouldn't say I'm normally, you know, this is normally my bag, but directed by Rob Letterman, who writes with a bunch of other people, this is actually a really cute film where Ryan Reynolds, you know, voices Deadpool voices Pikachu. Mm. And it introduces a great young actor, Justice Smith, as Tim, whose father has, we'll say died. I think that's the sort
we'll
of
say died.
We'll say died. Whether he recovers or not, you'll find out. But look, it's kind of like a little detective story about what happened to his dad. You've got Catherine Newton as an aspiring young reporter who is a great little foil for Tim as well. Now, I just thought this was a really gorgeously created world. Beautiful. I mean, the Pokemon, you know, the creatures are quite fabulous.
No, they're not. I find them boring.
Well, look.
I'm not big on animation, but I just can't believe how many adults are into
I know. Look, believe me, people are fully into this stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you like things like the Muppets, if you like the sort of Jim Henson creature comfort kind of idea as well, there was something at my jaded old critic's heart actually found this quite sweet.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah.
Good fun.
How many stars?
I think I might ridiculously give it 4, you know.
Oh, there you go. What's it called?
Won over by the Pokemon.
That is Pokemon Detective Pikachu. And look, it's a great one for families. Bring your kids along.
Brilliant. Stephen A. Russell, thank you so much for your film reviews today. See you in 2 weeks.
A pleasure. Thank you, boys.
Thanks, Stephen. You're here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.